Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Did I volunteer? Just asking questions is really powerful, and people come to their own largely positive conclusions. We make decisions for you, and we support the decisions the caller makes, however hard that may be. Although if we are with them and they lose consciousness, we are legally bound to call an ambulance. In the case of suicidal people, we are trying to get them to conclude, do they really want to die, or do they just want life to be different? We can build on the latter. Confidential, yes, except in certain situations where safeguarding of self or others dictates. The number doesn't come up on your bill. We might ask your name, because it's a natural question to ask in a conversation, but you don't have to tell us if you prefer not to. We give our forename and a 3-digit identifying code. So I was Joe958. In case people want to get a message through to a previous call handler. People do ring back to say that they didn't take their own life and are feeling much better. But of course, in most cases, we simply don't know what happened. The training was extensive and we went through lots of tough and controversial scenarios played by actors, including sex callers, criminals, and terrorist warnings about bomb threats. So when I was doing it, the IRA sent all their bomb threat warnings through to the Samaritans. And we were observed to gauge how we reacted to those different scenarios. In my cohort, only three people got through to the phones, and we were definitely not the nicest people in the group. But we cared enough to listen to the story behind the call, whoever they were. The people who take calls are largely those who have more or less overcome something tough in their own life through counselling. One Christmas, Keith was away in the army, so I volunteered to do the Christmas Eve night shift, the busiest night of the year. And as a surprise, my other two beautiful comrades turned up in solidarity. In our spare moments, we made up some Christmas songs, including We Three Queens of Telephone Are, and one about what we carried between us. And it went something like this. Five broken hearts, three calling birds, three dodgy childhoods, two army nomads, and a recovering alcoholic between the three of us. So broken enough to empathise and mended enough to listen, with enough resilience not to carry the sadness away in our rucksacks at the end of our shifts. Well, most of the time anyway. In the city where I volunteered, we had to do 1 3-hour shift a week and one night duty every 6 weeks. Such was the demand. We aim for everyone to get through to someone straight away, but it depends on the number of volunteers we have on the phones at that time. It's usually very busy. Let's take time to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, which gives insights into supporting people in a healthy way. Getting involved was complex for the priest and the Levite due to the issues of becoming unclean by touching the man if he was dead. The Samaritan. He did not injure, hurt, or neglect the self. We are no use to anyone if we do not have good self-care. He loved himself and he loved his neighbour. If we stay healthy, we can tend the whole flock of people that we care for on an ongoing basis in this way. The Samaritan relied on a sense of the communal, on teamwork, as represented by the inn and the host of the inn. As volunteers, we must sometimes take the wounded to the inn. The inn may be represented by other disciplines in healing, such as mental health professionals. The challenge is acknowledging the boundaries of where we can help people, and also knowing where the caller can get more specialist help. We were forbidden from counselling eating disorders as they are so complex and dangerous, even though we covered suicide. I went into a prison, but I didn't really know what it's like to receive a long sentence. So the Samaritans hand those situations on to the experts and train inmates to be listeners to those who have just received their punishment. So what did I learn from volunteering? It was a real privilege, and I got far more out of it than I put in. Very occasionally we'd get a message that someone had turned their life around, and that gave us hope for the others. Like this community of disciples, that community was overflowing with generosity of spirit. I learned humility. I became full of admiration of addicts who had taken drugs to escape painful memories, but who got clean. And single parents, often young mothers, who rang up because they were lonely and despairing, though rarely suicidal. I love that passage from Proverbs, and I've always tried to live up to it, but realised that these were the truly noble women, coping and doing their best with little money or domestic comfort and lots of responsibility for young children. I learned to accept help and express how I was feeling in the debrief chats. That was hard. We want to help others, but we are not very good at asking for help or accepting it when others want to help us. As Christians, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But I also ponder how vulnerable we are willing to be to each other. It's not about weakness. I would contend that vulnerability to God and each other and requesting prayer is essential to deepening our faith.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.